And good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Bethel youth are going to the polls this week. It's part of a citywide effort to raise community-minded citizens. For KYUK, Claire Strimple joined Bethel students at the ballot box and has this story.
There's only one question on the ballot. It's up to Bethel students to pick the sign that will mark a local playground.
Today, we're going to be voting with Sharpies.
City Clerk Lori Strickler explains how the vote works. She's talking to a couple dozen middle schoolers at Bethel High School.
You're going to use the Sharpie to fill in the bubble next to your choice. Okay? So that's your election.
She set up voting booths and the city's ballot counting machines on campus. It looks like the real deal, except the backdrop is yellow lockers and classroom doors. There's some gum snapping from the crowd, but everyone's paying attention. The students grab ballots and take turns in the polling booths set up in the school's foyer. Then they line up to feed their votes into the ballot counting machine.
Thank you.
Yeah. Here's your sticker.
Put it upside down.
Yep. And then put it through that.
The city's goal is to make youth in Bethel aware of voting and how impactful it can be.
If the community isn't voting, they're not sharing their voice.
This election may not seem as circumstantial as the upcoming general elections, but Strickler says they're actually related. She says kids can bring a little voter awareness home to their families and maybe even spur the adults to vote.
Having conversations about elections within the household will help encourage the adult voters to look into what's going to be on the ballot, to learn more about the candidates that are on the ballot and the issues that are on the ballot, and then themselves go out and vote on election day.
Nearly 19% of Bethel voters turned out in this year's local elections. That's down a little since the pre-pandemic years, where up to a third of the population might vote. Back at the high school, the students are game. Everyone votes, and the stickers are pretty popular.
I'm 12.
It'll be a while before Hannah Jaffet and Angela Simon can vote in a general election.
5 more years.
But they're already considering whether or not they'll go to the polls.
Maybe.
And a few students even grab the grown-up election materials that Strickler has for them to take home.
Could I get information for the voting?
Yeah, totally. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you.
Do you want a sticker?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Could I get one also?
Yeah, totally.
Adult elections are Tuesday, November 8th this year. Early voting for most Alaska precincts started October 24th. In Bethel, I'm Claire Strimple.
And a special dugout canoe is dedicated in Angoon this week. It's the first one built in Angoon since the late 1800s, when the U.S. military forces attacked and destroyed the village. Students who helped carve the canoe say the project helped them see their own resilience. Master carver Wayne Price and several teenagers are pushing a long wooden canoe on a wheeled platform. It's bright red, and it stands out against the gray, rainy morning. Some of the teens are wearing Crocs, and others are wearing regalia, blue robes with form-line fish beaded onto them. Little kids in bright purple and yellow coats are lifted into the canoe and pushed along like they're in a parade float. The view on this day 140 years ago was very different. Everything along this waterfront was in flames in 1882 when the U.S. Navy bombed the village, burning their clan houses and food stores, destroying their fleet of canoes vital for fishing and hunting for food. The Deshiton and Kutznawu Kwan people were left for the winter with only one boat and no shelter. No one knows for sure how many died that winter. Many of the families in Angoon today are the survivors. The U.S. Navy has never apologized.
I am very, very proud of both my teammates that helped me with the steaming process and as a community. Just proud to finally have this new beginning.
Chagain Kyle Johnson is a high school student in Angoon. He helped carve the new canoe, or yak, for the community. He and five other students fasted for a day when they put the boat to the test, adding hot rocks to it and letting the steam expand the wood into shape. It's called steaming the yak open, and it can often make or break the work.
It's a lot easier to learn about our culture and our traditional ways when it's hands-on, like carving a paddle, for instance.
His mom, Kukishtla Chinera Johnson, teaches Tlingit in the schools and helped with the canoe project. She says this history shows the resilience of the Kutznuwukwan.
We're still here, and our community is thriving, and our students and our children are eager to learn and eager to carry on that part of our culture.
For Kyle, this project has made him hungry to learn more about his culture.
I hope that we start leaning more towards our traditional ways of hunting and gathering and living off the land.
In the spring, the Yaqu will be given a name and launched into the water for the first time, with Kyle and several of his classmates aboard. In Angoon, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Southeast Alaska's summer season for Dungeness crab was worth about $10 million less than last year. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the shortfall was due to a combination of a much lower harvest and a smaller price per pound.
State managers closed Southeast's Dungeness summer fishery 2 weeks early by emergency order because of low harvest numbers. It's been 5 years since the last time that's happened. This summer season harvest was just under 1.3 million pounds, nearly 2 million pounds less than last year. Along with the lower harvest was a corresponding drop in value. This year, the fishery was worth less than $4 million. Last year, it was over $13 million. Biologist Joe Stratman manages the fishery for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says there are a number of factors that could lead to a fluctuating harvest. Fishermen this summer noted colder water temperatures at the start of the season and tides of over 20 feet. These details matter because managers set the season length according to the first week's harvest. Stratman says it could be those factors or just fewer legal-sized crab available.
It's also very possible that it was just a smaller cohort of crab recruiting into the fishery this year than we've seen in recent seasons.
This year's price was $2.96 per pound. That's about average for a Dungeness crab over the last decade, but it's much lower than last year's $4.21 a pound, the highest price ever paid. On top of that, there was a much higher harvest last year at just over 3 million pounds. Most Southeast Dungeness fishermen also participate in the fall season, which opened October 1st, and will run through November for most areas. Closing the summer season early usually means that the fall season will also be cut short. But there is an exception, and it happened this summer, and that's a lot of soft-shelled crab. As crab molt and replace their shells for larger ones, they contain less meat and bring less money. If there are a lot of soft-shelled crab in a shortened summer season, then the fall can go the full two-month length. This year, dockside sampling indicated 28% soft-shell crab, which is enough to allow a full fall season. Managers try to plan crab fisheries around molting, but it's a tricky business with weather, temperatures, and tides. What did seem to be consistent this summer was the overall slow fishing.
I would say probably from most of the people I heard from, they weren't seeing much of anything in the pots, and a lot of people thought, well, you know, we're starting on really big tides, we're starting on cold water, things are going to get better. But it sounded like in a lot of the region, things didn't get better. They stayed relatively the same.
189 permit holders fished Southeast summer Dungeness fishery. The area that saw the most harvest was near Petersburg and Wrangell, followed by Stevens Passage near Juneau, then the Frederick Sound area. Stratman says some areas were notably low.
Some fishermen, particularly in the northern part of the region, didn't see much of anything this season.
The fall Dungeness crab fishery will run through November in most of Southeast. A few areas stay open through February. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Candidates for Alaska's lone U.S. House seat sparred over fish, energy, and partisan politics at yesterday's debate for the state. During the hour-long debate, incumbent Representative Mary Peltola, a Democrat who's filling out the remainder of the late Don Young's term, highlighted work she's already doing in the office and stressed the importance of bipartisanship. Peltola called partisan division the, quote, number one threat to our country. Libertarian Chris Bai's answers reflected a preference for small government and localizing control of Alaska's resources. He said both major parties have left Alaska behind. And while Republican Nick Begich said he'd support any legislation that benefits Alaskans, he drew a stark line between his party and Democrats. Fellow Republican Sarah Palin avoided criticizing Peltola during the debate. Instead, she took shots at Begich and Biden administration while saying she has the skills to work across the aisle. You're listening to KTOO.